one person who has certainly left his mark on thoroughbred racing and has now left this world, passing away on Sunday at the age of 75, is longtime NYRA announcer Marshall Cassidy, who served as the New York Racing Association race caller from 1979 to 1990. Current NYRA announcer John Embriel will be the first to tell you that Marshall had a huge influence on his career, and he now joins me to remember Marshall Cassidy. Johnny, thanks for taking a little time. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Mike. It's my pleasure to be with you, and wish it was under different circumstances. Wish we were talking about Marshall while he was still with us, but certainly some great memories going back, and what an influence he was on me and what a mentor he was. I can just tell you that if it wasn't for him, wherever I've gotten, it wouldn't have happened. He spent time with me. He was generous. He was always there, and I couldn't have asked for somebody better to have in the booth when I first arrived than him to get me through those early years.
I talked earlier, Johnny, that the only time I had the chance to speak with Marshall was back in 2016. I called him to ask him to join me on this program, and he answered the phone with that distinctive voice and that delivery that only Marshall Cassidy had. And I was blown. I will never forget that phone call, and I'll never forget the interview we did on Travers Morning with him. It was one of the more special things I've been part of in my radio career.
Yeah, that voice will be with us forever with the race calls that we have of his, and and that's just the way he was. I mean, when he said hello, like that. I'm not even going to try to imitate him. I'll leave that to Frank Miramonte or Anthony or somebody like that. But he was a formal man, an extremely polite man, and I guess you could almost say that his race calls were kind of formal. I mean, but certainly no one more accurate than Marshall. And I thought about a few things this week, after he passed, that, boy, he wasn't shy about calling photo finishes. I'll tell you that. He was extremely accurate in that as well as the race calls. And I'm not sure if your audience, if all of them are completely aware of one thing that he did in 1980 with the Olympics. Do you know about that one, Mike?
He told that story when he joined me in 2016, but go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, it was the famous game, Do You Believe in Miracles? Yes, the Al Michaels game, was actually Friday night. The game for the gold medal was on Sunday afternoon. I'm going to say around 3 o'clock, don't really remember. And in the middle of the call, whatever race it might have been, Marshall says, and the U.S. wins the gold. And then he went back to the call. And at that time, the TV was behind him. So he had to turn around and look and see that, that it was official. It was a game the United States beat Finland in. And he put that in the call. And, I think everybody's aware of and knows of New York's easy goer, winning the Belmont Stakes. I mean, that's probably his most notable call. And the other thing I thought about, Mike, was that, he was there at a time, and he had Frank Dwyer was his backup. I called some races for him, to fill in every so often. But he didn't take a lot of days off. I'll tell you that. It wasn't like, some guys in the winter went to Florida to Gulfstream or took time off or whatever. I just don't remember him taking a lot of time off. So he had a voice to burn, I'll tell you that. He really had a voice that just stayed with him. I remember him getting laryngitis, and like I said, those were the days we were running 6 days a week a lot. And he was always there. He was always there with his trademark calls.
Well, thank you for telling that Olympic story. That was not the story I was thinking of that he told in 2016. So I had not heard that story. Fantastic stuff talking about the late Marshall Cassidy. Johnny, you started by talking about the influence that he had on you, and he became a mentor to you back in the 1980s. What kind of teacher was Marshall Cassidy?
He was an outstanding teacher because he would listen. And literally, he would... I would go to an office on the same level as the announcer's booth and record, and I'd have a recorder with me, and I'd call the race into the recorder, and right after that, and this went on, this happened a lot, that he would take the time to listen to it anyway. So I would do the call into the recorder and go into the booth, He watched the replay with me as he played my call. And the other reason that he was a good teacher and a good mentor is that he didn't pull any punches. If you messed up, if I messed up in the call that he was listening to, he told me. And that's very important. He didn't sugarcoat it. He was nice if he thought I did a good job. But he was also blunt and straight to the point if he thought that I should do this or suggested I do that. And those two reasons primarily, listening literally and being straight on and honest with me as and analyzing my calls.
You know, Marshall retired as the announcer at NYRA in 1990, so we have had plenty of time to reflect upon what he meant to the sport and his legacy. But whenever somebody passes away, it seems that that comes up again. So how will John Imbriel view Marshall's legacy, not just in New York, but in the sport?
I think twofold, Mike. When you know somebody personally, you take it beyond just the professional relationship and thoughts that you have about him. He was as nice and as generous a man, you know, that I've ever been around, and how lucky I was to have him around as the race caller for the first 10 or 11 years. I mean, he started in the spring of 79, and I started in November of 79. So Marshall started as the head race caller when Chick passed away suddenly. So, you know, it was the timing for me was perfect. And then you take it from a personal standpoint where he was just so kind and conscientious of being kind to other people. I think I read it somewhere that, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but when a lady entered the room, if Marshall was seated, he would stand up. And he was just that kind of an individual. And, you know, I'm going to just remember the good memories and miss him a lot that he's not here anymore. But I've certainly got a lot of memories of and positive ones of Marshall Cassidy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And two words that I have heard used to describe Marshall over the past several days: class and gentleman. And Johnny, I would use those two words to describe you as well, my friend, and really appreciate you taking a little time to look back on Marshall Cassidy and share some stories and talk about what he meant to you. He will be missed, there's no doubt about it, and can't thank you enough for taking time to do this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, John Imbriel, NYRA announcer, looking back on his good friend and mentor, Marshall Cassidy. Larry Colmus from NBC took time to join me yesterday, record an interview, and he did the same thing. He shared his thoughts and his perspective on Marshall Cassidy. Larry, shortly after the news came out on Sunday that Marshall had passed away, you had sent out a tweet, and I thought it was really spot on. You said, "Marshall was a legend. I grew up listening to him and admiring him. When I started working at NYRA, he became a friend. Annual Saratoga dinners with Marshall Cassidy and Sonny Taylor was a favorite tradition of mine. Rest in peace, Marshall." You summed it up beautifully. When you think about Marshall Cassidy, what are some of the stories and the things that come to mind for you?
When I was a little kid, you know, that was the guy that we were listening to all the time. My buddies and I, we would ride around and you know, going to these different racetracks, and instead of listening to music, I have tapes of race calls, and you know, many of them was calls from Marshall Cassidy, and we would, you know, my buddy Kenny, who I went to high school with, you know, he would get all these calls in his head, and he would remember, you know, Marshall Cassidy's calls to the letter, you know, and it was pretty funny that one day, once I became the guy that called the races for NYRA, my buddy Kenny, who was visiting me at Saratoga, he came into the booth, and Marshall at the time was a placing judge, and you know, he was upstairs, and I said, "Oh, I've got an idea." So I came down, went up to see Marshall first, and I said, "Marshall, can you come down to the announcer's booth? I want you to meet somebody." And he comes down, and I said to my buddy Kenny, I said, "Kenny, I'd like you to meet my friend Marshall Cassidy." Well, you could have like said the Pope or something like that. I mean, he almost fell over when he got the chance to meet Marshall Cassidy, and the two of them just kept talking back and forth. And my buddy is
giving these Marshall race calls word for word, and Marshall just absolutely loved it. So he kept coming back to the booth between every race to see him. And the next day when Kenny wasn't there, Marshall looked around and goes, "Where's Kenny?" it was just really cool, and you know, just the guy could not have been any nicer to me, and he had so many stories of his days in that booth at Saratoga, and little intricacies that helped me along the way for sure.
Yeah, as a fellow race caller, what is it that you admired most about Marshall Cassidy on a professional level?
He was so distinctive, and everything had to be exactly pronounced correctly. And I'm sort of like that myself, but he really was. And I was just listening the other day to one of his race calls, and it was never Angel Cordero. It was always Angel Cordero Jr. And it wasn't Richard Migliore. It was Richard Migliore. Because that was the proper Italian pronunciation, and Marshall would be so succinct in his race calls, and everything had to be perfect as far as accuracy, pronunciation, and he was amazing. He told me at Saratoga he used to go to the back between races where you could see the paddock, and he would look at the jockeys coming out and start memorizing the silts and getting them in his head before they ever came onto the racetrack. I ended up doing that at Kentucky Downs later when I worked there because Marshall had mentioned that. And that was the easiest way to prepare because Kentucky Downs was so hard that, you really needed to know the horses. So I thought of what Marshall said and said, hey, I could do that here. And so that certainly was a big help. But he just was a special guy. And his race calling style was his own. And it was really, really good.
How about on a personal level? In that tweet that I just read, you mentioned the dinners at Saratoga and the times that you would break bread with Marshall and how special that was to you. How would you describe Marshall, the person, not the caller, but the person?
Just a gentleman. I mean, he is like the definition of a gentleman. He was very, very proper in how he talked, but at the same time, he had a really cool sense of humor. You know, and you never really thought of Marshall Cassidy as being funny, but he was. And we would have dinners. I remember the last dinner I had with him. Sonny couldn't make it. It was just Marshall and I at the Wishing Well, and it was just such a great experience, just sitting there and breaking bread and listening to old stories with Marshall Cassidy and just to think that I had that, you know, listened to him as a kid, and then I had the job that he had at the time, and he was just so nice to me, and just a guy that had so many great stories and had been through so much, and it was just fun to be around him, and every time I saw him, it would just put a smile on my face.
I remember the one time that I did have the opportunity to interview Marshall. It was back in 2016, Travers Morning. We were hosting this Equine Forum show, and it was Jude Feld and myself. And after the interview, we both looked at each other. It was one of those moments, one of those interviews that you kind of knew as you were doing it that this was something that you had to cherish, that it was special because you were talking to somebody that had an impact on so many people and on this sport in so many ways. It really just transcended the show in a lot of different ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the one thing that Marshall told me, which I think is pretty cool, everybody remembers the famous Chick Anderson call of Secretariat in the Belmont Stakes. And I knew that Chick was the network TV caller and that Dave Johnson was the track announcer for that race, but Marshall told me that he also called the race for a network in Puerto Rico, which I thought was interesting. So he actually called Secretariat Belmont too, which I thought was very neat and something I had not known. So there's so many Marshall stories that you learn over the years, and just was a super cool guy.
Yeah, and he has the call of the Belmont Stakes in 1989 when Easy Goer winning, and New York's Easy Goer, and that's a call that's going to go down in history as one of the great, most memorable calls in our sport. that's kind of, I guess, would you consider that his signature call, or were there others that you would say, hey, look at this call that Marshall did. This was special too.
I think that is his signature call. I think it's the one that everybody remembers the most because it was such a cool situation with Sunday Silence going for the Triple Crown, and here's the hometown horse, Easy Goer, that everybody was waiting for him to beat Sunday Silence. It sounded like Marshall was kind of rooting for him a little bit, and he did do that the famous New York's Easy Goer in front. You know, and every call it always ended with in front, which is the way they did it back then, and that was pretty cool. You know, that to me, that was the call I'll always remember. The thing I always remember, too, about his calls is I don't think I've ever heard anybody get through a 12-horse field faster than Marshall Cassidy or a 5-horse field slower than Marshall Cassidy. He would, like, turn up the speed and then turn it back down, to, just depending either on his mood or the flow of the race. But he could rattle off 12 horses like you wouldn't believe, and then all of a sudden he'd have these long paused calls. That's what made Marshall Marshall.
Well, he was special. He will be missed. And Larry, I can't thank you enough for spending a little time to remember Marshall Cassidy here this morning. Appreciate it, my friend. And I know that you're going to miss him as well.
Absolutely. Anytime, Mike.